With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A death in the royal family. Britain's Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, has died.
And we give thanks as a nation and a kingdom for the extraordinary life and work of Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson outside number 10 Downing Street a few minutes ago. Get more from correspondent Jeremy House.
Philip spent a month in a hospital earlier this year before being released on March 16th to return to Windsor Castle. Philip, also known as the Duke of Edinburgh, married Elizabeth in 1947 and was the longest-serving consort in British history. He retired from public engagements in 2017 after carrying out more than 20,000 of them. Philip was a member of the Greek royal family and was born on the Greek island of Corfu in 1921.
Buckingham Palace says the prince passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. He was 99 years old. Also at SRNNews.com, the CDC reviewing reports of adverse reactions to the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine in North Carolina and Iowa, Colorado, and Georgia.
North Carolina health officials say they have stopped administering Johnson & Johnson doses at a mass vaccination site in Raleigh and clinics in Hillsborough and Chapel Hill. At least 26 people experienced adverse reactions, including fainting. The CDC says fainting is not uncommon. The agency has not found any reasons for concern, and it's not telling health departments to stop vaccinations. Johnson & Johnson is assessing what has happened, saying its top priority is the safety and well-being of the people it serves. I'm Mike Hempen.
On Wall Street this morning, stock futures are mixed. Right now, the Dow futures are up 83 points, while NASDAQ futures trading 15 points lower. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. A prominent prosecutor who's accused of molesting a child has offered to resign rather than possibly get fired. Chris Ambrosio was the city attorney for Jacksonville Beach until he was arrested and charged. The city council placed him on administrative leave, then voted to start the process of firing him. Ambrosio says he'll go away as long as he's paid for accrued leave, salary, and benefits. It took a long time for the case to get to trial, but not long at all for the star witness to take the stand. That witness was the defendant, Russell Tillis, who's charged with kidnapping and murdering Joni Gunter in 2016 and then burying her in his yard on Jacksonville's south side. Yesterday, he told the court that he never saw the victim until she was already dead and that it was his own brother who brought him her body in the trunk of a car. Tillis didn't accuse his brother of killing Gunter, but said he still doesn't know how she died. Tillis is also looking at a sex trafficking charge. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Financial issues plague us all, especially in these uncertain times. Dan Celia helps us navigate these difficult financial times every weekday from 9 till noon on AM 600 WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Our usual slow traffic on I-10 headed east, right between Cassett Avenue and Luna Street. For now, just add about 3 extra minutes, but expect it to slow down as the morning goes on. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Border officials announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and disembark from U.S. ports. And on Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control and says he supports a nationwide red flag law.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, a lot of good participation. Always enjoy hearing from you at 831-0600. A lot of calls coming in this morning on what's being talked about, which to me I find is a more of an intriguing issue fortunate or unfortunate, some would say in the eye of the beholder, of what may be involved in certain legislation to, quote, deal with gun violence, known to the left, but to us, we know it says gun control. Hey, good morning, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, our good friend, attorney Ron Davis, is in the studios with us as well. Here we go. ABC News reports that part of the package that President Biden wants to bring in, he wants to implement and see a nationwide red flag law dealing with gun violence.
He's directing the Justice Department to create a template that states can use to enact red flag laws, which allow authorities to remove firearms from people who are deemed a threat. But these actions are limited, and some gun control advocates say the president should have taken bolder action even sooner.
This is what the president said yesterday on that issue.
We know red flag laws can have significant effect in protecting women from domestic violence. And we know red flag laws can stop mass shooters before they can act out their violent plans. I want to see a national red flag law and legislation to incentivize states to enact their own red flag laws. I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now. And it's time to put these laws on the books and protect even more people.
Well, first off, this is going to happen. You leave it to the states to do it. Technically, whether you want to call them red flag, black flags, I mean, the judge already decides on some of these things. So the question is, does the state lay out its own plans here, Ron? The judge sits back and has his own discrepancy of, okay, who they deem that could be a threat. We're going to take their guns, due process. The cops come in and go, Your Honor, after the fifth time of visiting this house, we think something needs to be done. To me, I find this is the most, outside of the gun manufacturer suing them, which is a joke, but I find this is the most intriguing thing that I think, unfortunately, may have teeth. The question is, where do you go with the red flag laws?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. Right now, they've modeled them after the domestic violence laws, which are courts. Which, in my view, is probably the most abused court system that we have. You don't have to pay any attorney's fees. You don't pay any costs. So basically, it's just you want somebody out of a house. Hey, it's domestic violence. You don't want them to see their kids. I mean, they kind of use the domestic violence as an extension of family law too often.
Is that the only red flags that we know of that a judge would do? I mean, for example,
that's what they've modeled it after. And the problem and the point that I'm making is you get in before. Historically, a lot of these judges, and they err on the side of caution, okay? Whether it's met the standard, whether or not they've proved it, who wants to be the judge that says, I'm going to deny a domestic violence injunction, and the person goes out and you know, severely hurts or kills somebody? So they err on the side of caution.
But do they not take information from police going, Your Honor, we think this is this time? They don't do any of that.
That's domestic violence in Florida, you go down to the state attorney's office or the courthouse and fill
out forget about domestic violence. What about somebody makes comments, you know, like Nicholas Cruz? Oh, they should have done something about him. I mean, when somebody starts making comments and the police go, hey, Your Honor, this time around, it's a little bit more serious.
So switching to the red flag law.
Right.
The point is they've modeled it after DV. So it doesn't make any difference because the police officer is going to go out there. What's the police officer going to do? Well, I'm just going to defer it to somebody higher up the food chain than me. I'm not, you know, so I'm going to err on the side of caution and bump it up. Well, now, you know, everybody else bumps it up and the judge, you know, well, when he errs on the side of caution or she, what do you do then? Oh, well, you can appeal. And that drove me nuts the whole time I heard this, how casually they throw the word appeal. They have no clue what it costs.
So should we not have any of these? Wait. If somebody who's maybe mentally ill, the police say this one's a serious threat, we shouldn't take away their guns?
Well, and that's the problem,
if
right?
If they're mentally ill, they should have been, you know, caught with the waiting period anyway, though, right?
Well, no, what if they got their guns from a friend at somebody's house or
something?
Well, no,
because you're selfing them, you're trusting them to self-report at that. So okay. if they're mentally ill and they lie on there, that's a separate crime.
I see.
This is the problem because, yes, many of us acknowledge that it's the mental health is the problem, right? How do we keep how do we keep firearms out of the hands of people who are not mentally sound or you know, should not have?
And by the way, a gun salesperson in the gun store can determine that as well.
They could maybe look at it and they could always decide, I don't want to sell it. As long as they're not doing it based on race, religion, or, you know, some other, you know, reason that shouldn't take into consideration.
Well, as of lately, certainly based on race, I can tell you that.
No. This is where the debate gets, you know, because I think this is where there could be some common ground in areas that you could work on, but it's so apt to be abused.
I'm with you on that.
And you had a call earlier talking about, you know, well, what if you do get leftist judges versus, you know, judges on the right? You're going to have inconsistency in the results. And, you know, like in DV, you get a DV injunction. People act like that's casual. No, that anytime they do a background search, that comes up. And if you're a doctor or a nurse or you're a professional, you can't work in certain places.
That's without a conviction, just by virtue of the fact they looked.
It's not a conviction. It's if you get a if you get the injunction, because it's not criminal, it's civil.
Okay.
You lose your concealed carry permit. I mean, it's disastrous consequences. And it should be treated more seriously than what it is.
Here's what President Biden said on the issue that he says, hey, by me going after some of your guns, it's not going to hurt your constitutional rights.
But today we're taking steps to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic.
So here's the thing. Is that now, I mean, we had them during the Obama years, members of the CDC, we think gun violence is an epidemic. Oh, because underneath they quote epidemic/pandemic, now we shut down the cruise lines. What could happen up next with CDC guidelines dealing with guns?
We've talked about that the past year. We've said this is coming down the pike. This is where this whole COVID pandemic, face masks force you into compliance. This is where it's headed. This is what that was the setup for this. Now that they've done that, how can any of us say you don't have the authority and you don't have the power to do it? Now you're going to start seeing governors under this guy's do what he's doing.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the White House and the CDC because the federal government has, but it started underneath the Trump administration, by the way, has extended a ban on those of embarking in, guess what? You guessed it, cruise line ships in the state of Florida. No longer applied. You can go on a cruise here. Here we go.
Governor DeSantis is filing a lawsuit against the CDC and the federal government demanding cruises set sail again. He said some cruise lines are resuming sailings from international ports, and that's hurting Florida's economy. Now, back in March, the U.S. marked 1 year of the CDC's no-sail order. The agency said this will remain effective until November 1st.
So you can't embark, you can't disembark. This is what the governor said about it.
And so today, I'm happy to announce that on behalf of the tens of thousands of Floridians whose livelihood depends on the viability of an open cruise industry, today Florida's fighting back. We're filing a lawsuit against the federal government and the CDC demanding that our cruise ships be reopened immediately.
He says it's also killing the economy, especially in South Florida.
Here in Dade County, it's one of the highest unemployment rates in the entire state, and it's way higher than the state average and higher than even the national average. And the main reason for that is because the federal government and the CDC has locked down this industry for over a year.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I guess through some executive decisions or orders, however you want to claim it, unless it's not done through legislation, then President Trump sat back and said, hey, I'm going to sign an executive order that says certain countries were not taking in people from that may want to do damage to the U.S. I get all of that. This is a guideline here about because of a, quote, pandemic out there. What I'm getting at, this is not set in statute. It is not set in stone. So the question is, because a lot of these people can go to the Bahamas. To me, how does the governor sit back and say, we're going to sue you based on this, or should just let states decide whether or not we want to have cruise line ships come to our state or not based on COVID?
Well, it's a combination of it. If you're going to be suing for injunctive relief, you're going to use all that as your basis for doing this. So, you know, Florida is saying, hey, look, this economic policy does not follow the science, does not follow what the original goals were. You need to lift it. So it's going to be up to a federal judge at some point in time to make that decision. You know what makes me mad about the whole debate regarding cruise lines?
What's that?
Is that I didn't buy when they were down to $25 a share a year ago.
Well, they're about $25 now, one of the cruise
lines.
Yeah,
they're going to go back down again now.
Well, they
were
$50, $75 bucks last
month. Here's the question. When you look at a lot of these COVID lawsuits going on, especially when you got a government versus a government, do you think it's possible a lot of this gets fast-tracked to the Supreme Court? Because they're going to be done in June, 3 months away. 2 months away.
I don't know that this is an issue that would go to the Supreme Court.
Really?
I just don't know that it's a matter of that much importance to the Supreme Court unless we start getting into the whole issue of executive orders. You know, too many, how much, have we overstepped our bounds? I'd have to see the nature of the lawsuit right now. I see it more as an injunctive relief. You're harming us, and if you don't lift it, we're going to continue to suffer harm.
I mean, the U.S. Supreme Court's already heard a few when it comes to education and churches out there in some of the states, whether or not they can worship a mountain of people and things like that. That's why I'd be kind of curious on this one here. And you could call it politics, but the bottom line is the cruise industry is a lifeline in South Florida. And many other areas throughout the state. So I understand what the governor's coming on this.
Look it up even here. Even here, it's become a large part of what we've done.
I was saying Port Canaveral, Tampa.
Yeah.
All those are cruise ports. And Jacksonville.
Yeah. You know, and part of getting a Super Bowl was that we had cruise ships available to us, too. Right. So that people stay on it.
Yeah,
so
they use this hotel.
It's all up and down the coast, both coasts of Florida. It's huge. Mm-hmm.
All right. 815-904-831-0600. I am fascinated by the debate of, quote, red flag laws, not because it's a red flag, okay? But that was kind of funny.
I want to go to cruise. What are you talking about?
but can you imagine your flag being red? Anyway, but here's the thing: is that I'm fascinated. But if there's going to be some sort of quote red flag, whatever you want to call them, how should they be limited to? What should they be expanded to? Should the state set the tones of the parameters, and then of course discretion's by the judge? How should some of this, or is it just hey? The gun rights groups are 100% correct. I hear that from a lot. There should be no red flag laws whatsoever.
You know, you're going to have to figure out what are the standards. What is it that you're looking for? What specific diagnosis? You know, where is it exactly that you're trying? Who is it you're trying to keep the guns from?
Hey, by the way,
is it bipolar? Because that can take up a whole bunch of
people. I'm with you on this.
People.
By the way, you know what irks me is that the Democrats now, they're going to try to get, I don't think anything's going to get done in the U.S. Senate. Thank heaven. But having said all of this, they want to expand misdemeanors. We played the clip the other day. I mean, like what? You get a ticket? You suspended license? I mean, this is what you've said. They may not be out trying to come after you. This is the back doorway.
Yeah.
Because anybody can be convicted of a misdemeanor.
If they can't do it legislatively, they're going to do it through the regulatory process.
Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. All right. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Some light traffic on 295 headed south, right between Beach Boulevard and Town Center Parkway. Add about 3 or 4 extra minutes. And if there's anything you see, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence.
Maybe you've been in the military for 20 some odd years and you never fired your weapon, but you've seen things and you've heard things and you've witnessed terrible things that have happened to not only your friends but citizens. That builds up. And then I got sent home for medical treatment. They told me straight up, hey, you got problems.
Canines for Warriors pairs specially trained dogs with vets in need.
And we're asking pointed questions because we're trying to pair them with a good match for them, a good dog. And so we kind of have guided conversations what the warrior requires and how we can best suit that with our dogs.
Your generosity will go right to work to help pair a struggling warrior with a shelter dog trained to help veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Give your best gift today by going to K9sForWarriors.org. This year marks the 64th anniversary of Boger Shoes on Park Street here in Jacksonville. In order for a family business to celebrate 64 years in business, they must be doing something right, and that something is good old-fashioned customer service. For 64 years, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger's offers free evaluations and fittings by 4 board-certified podologists on staff. With a doctor's prescription, they can custom make inserts in their on-site lab. And just in time for Easter, Boger Shoes is offering new spring Birkenstocks for your Easter babies or toddlers. Boger's now carries very stylish waterproof sandals, so let the kids enjoy the April showers. You can also save 20% simply by liking Boger Shoes on Facebook or following them on Instagram. Just show that info on your phone at checkout to receive your 20% discount. For 64 years, good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new study by UNF says the proposed increase in the Jacksonville gas tax would create a positive economic impact on the city. The Florida State House and State Senate have both passed budgets just shy of $100 billion. Up next, lawmakers negotiating the final amounts. And a new Harris X poll finds more voters say Biden, not Trump, is responsible for the border crisis.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
This new study by an economist from the University of North Florida says the proposed gas tax would mean 7,600 new jobs and generate an economic impact of $1.6 billion. The proposed gas tax increase would double the current tax from 6 cents to 12 cents per gallon. That increase would generate nearly $1 billion in revenue that would go towards 72 infrastructure projects across the city. Those projects include the expansion of the Skyway, getting homes in several neighborhoods off septic tanks. The study found almost half the jobs created would be related to the proposed expansion of the Skyway. The Jacksonville Transportation Authority commissioned the study.
So Ken Justice says he wasn't getting enough airtime, so we wanted to play one of his clips. Anyway, I'm kidding with you. Coming up on, that's our good friend, the top-rated news anchor at News 4 Jax, Ken Justice, the latest on where there's a study paid for, by the way, by your local government, the Jacksonville Transportation Authority.
But don't they raise money from I guess different sources, but you know, air fares is probably one of the areas.
Where do you think they get their major amount of funding from?
I don't know, DC.
Really?
I don't know. That's government. Our money too.
So anyway, so the study is that it's going to be $1.6 billion. So we're going to raise taxes for economic prosperity. This is being pushed by Republicans. I mean, this sounds like a bunch of Dems out there.
Positive economic impact on the city.
$1.6 billion, and they claim it's going to create 7,600 jobs. They say that half of the estimated jobs created will be related to the expansion of the Skyway. Let me play one more clip for you from Jim Pickett from News 4 Jax, where they call it the Skyway to Nowhere.
Well, right now, I'm standing in front of the Kings Avenue station. This is in San Marco. Not many people riding the Skyway here. In fact, it has the reputation of just being underused. Some call it the Skyway to Nowhere.
So in order to create jobs, we've got to raise taxes, but the jobs created will be through government funding. Does the government create jobs? Technically, yes. Some of you that say they don't know, technically they do, but it's not what it's like saying have an inflation in society. Inflation through the marketplace is one thing. Inflation through the government do it is totally manipulated is the wrong thing, Ron. So
yeah, no, it's just more jobs that are dependent on government. I mean, I'm assuming these are government jobs, which means, unfortunately for us, more government unions, more involvement in that.
Do you think this would pass? Let me ask Roger real quick. Roger, if this was a referendum, now everybody's loves the kids, for the kids, we pass a sales
6
tax.
6 cents gas tax? No.
You don't think it'd pass?
Oh, heck no.
What do you think? You think it'd pass?
I hope not.
What do you think it would?
The last few years, the way Republicans have acted here, I don't know. I mean, they passed the school tax, and I'm still waiting to see how they spent the money for the first 50 years.
Yeah.
So,
a half a cent is one thing. 6 cents extra on your gas is, and I know people who will drive out of their county to get gas because they want to save.
That is a great point.
When I first heard
probably going to happen. Go ahead.
When I first heard them talking about it, I really seriously thought they were saying that the 6 cents itself was going to be an economic boom. You know, it's so you're just going to go steal it from us and say, hey, look, our coffers got bigger. You know, and I guess it's based on jobs, but again, they're jobs that are going to be based on government. And I thought Republicans were all about less dependence on government.
Is there something about that cup of coffee? That's twice you've knocked
swinging
it over.
My all arms right. around.
So anyway, but here's the thing.
Animated.
When we have people like that work at Gate and things have emailed me and Raj, and they're going, they call this up going, you, and these are the best analysts because they work there. They're saying, do you understand that, like, for example, when gasoline went up in 2008 to $4 a gallon, now it's going to hit $3 a gallon. They say, you know, that means that everybody acts like we're making all this amount of money. Because first off, everybody knows that the government's the biggest beneficiary and ain't ExxonMobil. But we've had, Roger, we've had them call up telling us that That means there's less amount. We want them to spend money in the store, and they spend less.
That's right. Many of the profit centers for these gas stations aren't the gas. It's the drive-through car wash. It's the, you know, super-sized soda you can buy, or the coffee. You know, it's not necessarily just the gasoline they're making their money from.
Yeah. So this, and by the way, it's just funny listening to a lot of these guys that talk about, hey, these are long overdue projects. And I'm not, I mean, I'm just, really, these are the same guys that have been on the city council for how many years? And why have they been long overdue projects? To me, that is, again, you didn't spend the money properly. Why do we need to spend it again? By the way, the argument at 831-0600, the mayor's office and the surrogates of the mayor have noted, well, wait a second. Jacksonville has a lower gas rate than Clay County, Nassau County, Putnam, and a dozen of other counties across the state.
Candom.
So that justifies raising it? I think that's something you should be proud of and keep it there.
Hey, you know Miami has a higher property tax rate, but we're not up to that level. Maybe we could get away with that too, huh?
It's like when I went to law school, I thought they meant when they said we're going to be in the top 20, I thought they meant academics. I didn't realize it was tuition.
That's funny. Coming up on 825 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Stop and go traffic on 95 headed south right before Park Street. It's from an earlier accident that has the right lane blocked, so add about 8 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
On a gas tax like this, why now? Here's an answer.
If not now, when? I think that's sort of an old saying to say, there's no good time for a tax. And now's the time, and now's the opportunity. Yesterday, we should have done it. Tomorrow's too late. It's too much that we need to do that we can't.
What's up all these phrases from Tommy Hizzuri? When, if not now, then when? If yesterday was wrong, why not to?
We could make a song out of that.
Yeah, here's another one.
City Councilman and candidate for mayor Matt Carlucci brought up the gas tax proposal during a City Council Finance Committee meeting. But the mayor has released a list of more than $900 million worth of road, drainage, and transportation projects that would be funded by the 6-cent increase in the gas tax. Carlucci says he needs to know that project list won't change down the line and that there will be some type of oversight to make sure that the projects are done.
You know, I'm not tone deaf that gas prices have gone up, but gas prices also come down. But our city needs a lot of work for...
There's another city councilman who's been on the city council for some time. So, again, there you go. By the way, you do know that the city's in a surplus. You guys do know that. Why could you not use current surplus and do it? I understand. Well, Ed, it would take money out of it. You know, we can bond it. And I get all of that. I've covered the gas tax for years. It just doesn't come out to what you think it should do. All right? I mean, just look at the last stimulus we had. Remember? Shovel ready. It was not as shovel ready as we thought. And then, by the way, when you jack it up there 12 cents and you don't feel there's enough revenue coming in, you got to find other alternative ways.
Property values are going up, which could also represent a windfall in property
taxes.
Right.
If property values are coming, by the way, they're always taking money out of general revenue. You could fund it from that. We do it all the time, even though you're not supposed to, Raj. All right, more coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. It's been a death in the royal family. Britain's Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, has died. Buckingham Palace says the Duke of Edinburgh passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Prince Philip was 99 years old. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reviewing reports of adverse reactions to the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine in North Carolina and Iowa, Colorado, and Georgia. Critics blasting President Biden's latest series of executive orders as a gun grab. Texas Governor Greg Abbott accusing Mr. Biden of threatening our Second Amendment rights. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures are mixed. Right now, the Dow futures 68 points higher. While the NASDAQ futures are down 36 points. S&P futures 2 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. A main area road is once again open after being closed due to a gas line break. The southbound lanes of Blanding Boulevard and Clay County were shut down yesterday morning, and nearby businesses were evacuated. No one was hurt. The line was cut accidentally by some construction equipment. A homeless shelter that was opened to house those from a former tent city is now closed. Yesterday was the last day the bridge shelter in downtown Jacksonville was open. It was only designed to operate for the 30 days immediately following the tent city's closure. A prominent prosecutor who's accused of molesting a child has offered to resign rather than possibly get fired. Chris Ambrosio was the city attorney for Jacksonville Beach until he was arrested and charged. The city council placed him on administrative leave, then voted to start the process of firing him. Ambrosio says he will go away quietly as long as he's paid for accrued leave, salary, and benefits. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Get out of the house and be active while knowing you're safe. The YMCA means it when they say your safety is their first priority. They're checking everyone's temperature that comes in, and there are also disinfectant wipes placed throughout the facility so you can triple check that everything's squeaky clean. The YMCA is opening with limited capacity. To see what programs need reservations and to see how the Y is keeping you safe, check out their website, fcymca.org. That's fcymca.org.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Stop and go traffic on 95 headed south right before Park Street. It's from an earlier accident that has the right lane blocked, so add about 8 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-SAFE.
Overcast early, some sun in the afternoon. The high today 85. Tonight partly cloudy with a low of 65. And right now, it is 63 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and disembark from all U.S. ports. On Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control and says he supports a nationwide red flag law. And border officials announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Among Black Americans, near massive surge in gun ownership. Among Black Americans, nearly 60% surge in gun ownership among Black Americans. Looking at National Shooting Sports Foundation figures,
In Chicago, black Americans are flooding into concealed carry classes. People who never thought they would own a gun are now not only purchasing a gun, but going through the steps necessary to carry a gun concealed on their person so they can keep themselves and their families safe.
That's a Breitbart columnist, a gun columnist, A.W.R. Hawkins. I like those initials, A.W.R. Mm. Why can't I have like three initials? Like
it's almost A.R. Like, take out the W.
The notorious E.E.D. Something like that. All right. But anyway, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, attorney Ron Davis. So why do you think, by the way, gun ownership going through, biggest group of people buying guns over the last year, those among in the black community, the numbers, and by the way, concealed weapons permits. Why do you think it is?
It's tragic, but there's a high incidence of crime in high density black areas.
It's been that way for years. Why now?
Chicago's probably the worst because one of the more recent mayors there shut down two of the bigger housing projects and scattered the entire gang population all over the city of Chicago.
You mean you didn't have crime in the war housing projects?
You didn't have it as bad. They were primarily in these projects.
Interesting.
The two were, I think, Greeny Breen and Robert Taylor Holmes.
Somebody's how he knows all this. Okay.
He bulldozed them, and now all those gang members scattered throughout the city of Chicago, so
what about
to protect themselves.
But what about throughout the rest of the country?
Well, probably see an increased crime in the inner city.
What do you think?
Do you think, Roger, it has something to do with the media constantly telling black people that white supremacy is huge and they need to be fearful? And
interesting. Never thought about
that. And if you call 911, they're also against you. Yeah, you probably have a point.
So you
there.
Think? Wait, you think?
I mean,
You think the drive among those of those in the black community buying guns is because of the white supremacy?
Your question is, you've had the crime before, why now?
Right.
So what's changed in the last two or 3 years?
Interesting.
The last 2 or 3 years, it's been the media constantly, we had a story earlier this week, a big, huge story about, oh my gosh, these racist comments were written on the walls at some Michigan school. Well, then we find out yesterday it was actually a person of color who did it. Hmm. But that's the whole point, is they gin up this anger and this fear that these white people are out to get us. And then
the shooting that took place in D.C.
And you hear more and more comments, well, the white man is the most dangerous person. If you're constantly telling everybody that your neighbors are racist and they don't like you and they want to see you dead or hurt, I mean,
but Ron,
why wouldn't you go get a gun?
Ron, in my world, it is usually the white man is the most dangerous guy when I'm going on the hunting land. It's not, I'm being serious. We used to tell this story. When we go out, I never drink, so I was always the DD. When we go out with friends, let's say there was the city had a big street party, Raj. Okay. It was never the black community because, they were, they had friends, they were meeting girls. I could never meet any girl because I was never attractive. Like today, I'm still not attractive. But they were they wanted to meet. And then it was usually the ones that were, and I'm just being honest here. I've told this story to Roger 100 times. It was the white people wearing their camouflage clothes in an area that you would sit back and go, wait, why are they dressed up like they're going turkey hunting? Those are the ones that stood out. I'm just telling you, those are the ones that stood out. But I wonder if the narrative is in the black community, which we have played the clips to, we're blue in the face, many of those have sat back and said, look at Kenosha, look at other towns of Portland. If they're destroying, members of my own community are destroying my own property, I'm buying a gun.
I think that's one of the reasons, in a very general sense, people are just concerned about their own safety.
I agree.
Primarily, in their own homes, I think, but you can still, whatever.
And you hit it right on the head. They're concerned about their own safety. The question is if you're in the black community, you're bombarded from every side.
If you're living on the south side of Chicago, though, the interaction that you're having with white people
on
a regular basis.
Why do you keep talking about Chicago? Nobody lives in Chicago.
Well, the clip referenced Chicago, so that's why I mentioned it.
Did the clip reference Chicago?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Hold on a second.
Listen to the show.
Surge in gun ownership among black Americans. Nearly 60% surge in gun ownership among black Americans. Looking at National Shooting Sports Foundation figures. In Chicago, black Americans are flooding into concealed carry classes.
Okay. I think one of the reasons why is because of Chicago. There's a tremendous community of those in the black community that live there. I think he was using that as to make a point.
And a big gang problem there, too.
Well, they're bombarded from everywhere. Mm-hmm. You have to be fearful of members in your own community. You have to be fearful that the BLM movement, who you probably agree with, is there. But when they get out of control, everything's destroyed. And then they're telling you the police are hunting you. It's not that they don't like you. They're actually hunting you. I mean, why? Why wouldn't they go get, let me ask a question. And arm themselves?
I'm not picking on any one sheriff here. You know, we have Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey on the show all the time. He tells people, he gets them on YouTube, he says, he doesn't care what color, he says, you need to arm yourself as a citizen. Do we ever see any sheriff do that to those in the black community? If you feel that there's crime and we can't get there on time, Roger, need to go arm yourselves. I've never seen that happen.
What was the Atlanta suburb that back a while back they required every homeowner to have a rifle in their home and learn how to use it?
That was years ago.
And the crime burglaries dropped like a brick.
Because it was advertised that way.
Once word got out that if you break into this house, guess what? You're probably going to be shot. You know, if people are arming themselves and in their homes, that causes the numbers to go down for crime.
Border officials say that the numbers have jacked up again. Are you ready for this? Customs and Border Patrol agents under, by the way, the Biden White House say that they saw a 71% increase from February to March of those coming across this border illegally. Listen to some of the statistics here by that of Fox News.
Let's take a look at the numbers for a moment. Total Southwest border enforcement encounters, February 2017, 23,557. February 2018, 36,751. 2019, 76,545. These are all the Februaries. 2020, 36,062. Now, February 2021, 100,441. This is not going in a good direction.
And we know all who to blame of all this. It's former President Trump, right?
Trump had 4 years of failed immigration policy, inhumane treatment, breaking apart the asylum system. I mean, he did away with the Central American Miners Program. We were trying to do it. He cut aid to El Salvador, cut aid to Honduras.
Fox News co-host of the 5-1, Williams. There's a new poll out by the Hill Harris X from thehill.com. When you break the numbers down, the majority of those at 44% say that Biden is the one that owns this. 28% blame former President Trump, and 20% blame both. It gets interesting. 73 Republicans blame Biden. Almost half blame Trump. Now, listen, forget about your partisan politics is. I'm sorry. How do you blame Trump for this?
We talked about this about a month ago. I blame the Republicans during the first 2 years of Trump administration for not solving the problem. Period.
What do you mean not solve the problem?
They had an opportunity to solve the immigration issues.
What?
With legislation.
They got a wall going up. To me, that's the main thing.
Okay. Trump did the wall in spite of everybody else. He had to do executive orders to get the military to go down and build it.
So what would the Republicans would have done?
They should have passed legislation. They should have made the path that Trump took easier to get to, closed a lot of these problems. Instead, Trump had to do it all by executive orders, which are erased overnight by an executive order from a successive president. So I blame the Republicans because of the first 2 years, they did nothing. Now, I think the best visual that I've seen so far this political year is reporters trying to say it's Trump, and in the background, they're showing people wearing Biden shirts coming across the border. It was the greatest thing I've seen all year.
They're not even being allowed into the areas where these migrants are being held because they've been embargoed.
But it's just funny. They're trying to blame Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump is the only one. He's the only one that did anything for the four years. The Republicans were paralyzed with whatever fear they had. And we can blame it on a couple Republicans, John McCain and the others, but they did nothing
on immigration. By the way, if COVID cases have gone back up, I don't care if it's a variant, whatever. If COVID cases have gone back up, you can't keep blaming Trump. Now, if you want to sit back and go, by the way, they said a couple of five states that see the spike, and one was Florida. The rest were all blue states out there. By the way, how many thousands, unfortunately, have died under Biden White House? We don't see those graphs anymore, do we?
Almost as many people have died in the first 3 or 4 months of this year than died entire last year. But how about that NBC News story yesterday? They actually reported, and they couldn't figure it out. How is it possible that red states who opened up and had masks have a far lower rate now than those states that had all that? And they're just scratching their heads. We just can't figure this out. And it was just hilarious looking at all the excuses they tried to come up with. It's because it's a failed policy.
In Florida here, this is kind of an interesting bill because it doesn't get too much publicity, which is fine with me, but you talk to some parents whose sons or daughters are trying to get a scholarship to University of Florida, FSU, in track and field, and then they have a boy disguised now as a female coming over messing it up for them. You're going to tick off some parents. There actually is a bill going to hit the House floor, the state House floor, about banning, quote, trans females from women's high school and college sports.
A bill banning trans females from women's high school and college sports is headed to the Florida House floor. Supporters say the bill will ensure women have a level playing field in competitive sports. Gender disputes would be resolved by taking a look at a student's anatomy, testosterone, or genetic makeup. Opponents to the bill, including some female athletes, call it an attack on the trans community. The Florida State Senate is considering a somewhat less restrictive measure. It would allow trans females to play in women's sports if testosterone levels are low enough following Olympic.
Okay, so first off, so we're going to allow them to cheat, but at a slightly lower level. To me, you lost me at the anatomy. If you're not a woman, you go compete in the men's sports. But now the Florida State Senate, run by Republicans, by the way, we're going to soften it. Instead, we're going to check out your testosterone level.
Or your anatomy, which is kind of disturbing.
No. The House is anatomy. The Senate's the testosterone level.
How do they check? Well, no, never mind.
You can do it from the neck up, Raj.
Okay.
If you're talking about a 17 or an 18-year-old developmental male who says, I am transitioning to a female, he's already developed. He's already got that musculature, the bone structure, the size. You lower his testosterone. It's not going to do anything to inhibit what he already has, which is, from a physical standpoint, physiologically suited better for whatever that is.
Here's one of the group of people that were opposing it. We're at FSU. I can't believe this. Abigail O'Loughlin, she says the bill is misogynistic, sexist. Listen to the clip.
Sets a precedent that is dangerous. It fosters more stigma. It puts trans women specifically in a light that they are dangerous and that men are more powerful than women. And that simply is misogynistic.
Men are more powerful than women based on natural and natural capabilities, but based on how they're created. But that in alone is sexist.
Misogynistic.
Yeah.
Well,
prejudice.
I love how she co-opts the word powerful, because the reality of it is men are more physically powerful than women in a general sense. Like you point out, I there's quite a few women out there I know that would whoop me pretty easily. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day,
you were in the Air Force.
That's the exception versus the rule. And it's not because I'm some big bad person. It's just physically, mm-hmm. I'm bigger than most of them. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, she co-opts the word, you know, powerful.
Right.
The way she's used it in the past in her feminist movement is more of a powerful in the sense of dynamics and influence, right. Not physicality.
Did you hear that dig you just said? The military dig? He said that's because you were in the Air Force. Are you implying that he would have been in the Marines?
I'm just
been
saying
different?
The ladies in the Air Force are tough.
I'm just kidding. That's right. So he didn't say that. But anyway, all right. Your calls are coming up next at 831-0600. More in just a few moments on Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Still dealing with some of that usual slow traffic on 295 headed south, right between Beach Boulevard and Town Center Parkway. Add about 4 extra minutes, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-SAFE.
Overcast early, some sun in the afternoon. The high today, 85. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 65. And right now, it is 63 degrees.
Florida's economy depends on restoring America's Everglades. Everglades restoration will not only improve our environment, it will create 65,000 new infrastructure jobs and support hundreds of thousands of jobs tied to the real estate, recreation, and tourism industries. Let's invest in our future. Restore America's Everglades. Create jobs. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We understand that shopping for jewelry can be a frustrating experience, with everybody claiming they're a gemologist and people using loose quality grading standards. It's also impossible for a layman to be able to judge a gemstone for quality. So all a person can really do is judge the jeweler. Now at Underwoods, we're members of the American Gem Society, where our jewelers are registered and our sales associates and gemologists are certified. We're tested on an annual basis to re-win these professional titles. In fact, the American Gem Society was founded in 1934 to protect the consumer, and members can be thrown out for unethical practices. Underwoods is the longest-standing member in the state of Florida. Now, not every jeweler is a member, so if you're shopping for jewelry, ask those common sense questions like, what are your qualifications? Ask to see their education certificates, and ask if they're members of the American Gem Society. And if they're not a member, you might want to ask, why not? Come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops at Ponte Vedra.
Does your family deserve the freshest produce? Well, obviously, of course they do. And nothing's fresher than the straight off the bush strawberries and blueberries from the Towers Family Farms. And it's super simple. You just pay for what you pick. Mark your calendars for opening weekend, Saturday, April 10th, and bring your family. Because after all, memories aren't made at the grocery store. They're made at the farm. Towers Family Farms. Follow Towers Family Farms on Facebook and Instagram.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs. To bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about this.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
That's a good one. All right, take some calls. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing this
morning?
Hey,
man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, here's my question about, I'm totally against trans men, women, whatever, competing with women. I think it's unfair, totally. Here's my question, though. To the people that say if their hormone levels are where they should be as far as being a woman compared to a man, okay, they still have the more, you know, the greater muscle strength and size and bones and all that.
Excellent.
But my question about equality on all this is, why don't you hear about trans women that have become men trying to compete in men's sports? If for all the people that say it's totally fair that they've changed their, they actually have changed their sex, which I think is possible to totally do, why aren't women that have become men trying to compete against men if it's so fair? That's my question to those people.
No, you made a great point. Bruce, may I have a little fun with you in a good way? Let me throw this one at you. If your goal is to become a woman, then why would you take a less amount of testosterone then? Oh, excuse me. No. Why would you take more? Am I right or wrong, Roger? It's so got to be lower testosterone.
You're a guy biologically.
Right. You want to become a woman.
You want to become a woman, female, biologically.
Right.
I don't think you take testosterone.
I think I just answered my own question. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, good to talk. I was thinking, why would you, they say it's based on the testosterone level and other things. So I'm saying, why would you, if you wanted to become more stronger but win it, I guess, need to re-ask the question?
The issue is, The issue is in that in the trans movement, you have the trans, the part where I think I'm a woman, I believe I'm a woman, but I'm not making that transition. Okay. I identify as a woman. You have the other part of that movement where you're actually getting the change. So what you're dealing with are the people that are taking testosterone blockers.
Yes,
they've actually
taken that
active step to becoming the opposite
sex.
If they full-blown do the surgery and everything, are they technically still in the trans movement? Are they
Roger,
officially
you,
a female?
But isn't that the question? I mean, let's say you're a white woman who has hated white men your entire life and you feel they're the bane of your existence. You become one. Right. So how is there a trans at that point? I now identify as a man.
I didn't want to get off in third base. But you get what I'm saying? So the goal is, do you want to win a scholarship? Then why would you want to lower your testosterone? You get what I'm saying?
Right.
That's probably how I should rephrase that one there. So on that one. But real quick, George, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. We need a series of constitutional amendments to counter all this craziness by the left, but not a convention that'll go wild. I nominate Ron Davis to write it. And here are two items.
Oh, it'll go wild then, yeah.
I want to talk about two items shortly. One is, if an executive order is written, the cowards in Congress should go ahead and have to vote on it within 7 days. And as far as Baker Acts, et cetera, it should be a jury trial. You can pick people to serve, say, for 5 days if anything comes up, especially the weekend, and have them look at whether a person should be Baker Acted to have their guns taken away. There are a whole series of these things that we need to do to counter the craziness on the left.
interesting on the on some of that. I don't know if I want really more convictions or conventions.
Have a jury on standby, I guess.
But he's got an interesting point. Baker Act. I mean, you lose your guns in a Baker Act, Ron?
You know, I don't know why I don't know the answer to the question. I think it would depend on the diagnosis.
Baker Act in and of itself, probably no. You probably have to escalate to a separate.
Probably not, but if you're answering the question whether or not you've had the issue on your form to buy the firearm, you're committing a crime at that point and you could be arrested for it.
I see a great campaign slogan. This is a little inside joke for some people. Baker acted. All right. Some of my few friends will catch that joke that are listening this morning. Anyway. All right. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
To avoid WBOB traffic.
Still dealing with some of that usual slow traffic on 295 headed south, right between Beach Boulevard and Town Center Parkway. Add about 4 extra minutes, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE. 901-SAFE.
Overcast early, some sun in the afternoon. The high today, 85. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 65. And right now, it is 63 degrees.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
President Biden promised during the campaign he would come after guns, and now he's taken the first of what he says will be several steps to control what he calls gun violence. Just to be clear, guns aren't violent, people are, but never mind that. In a series of executive actions, the president called on the Justice Department to issue rules to stop the proliferation of so-called ghost guns within 30 days. Ghost guns refer to kits that allow the recipient to assemble the firearm using provided parts. The guns do not have commercial serial numbers and are difficult to track. This is just a start, as with abortion, which has killed more babies than people with guns, the left always begins at the extreme. Once a principle is established, in this case the right to undermine the Second Amendment, there will be no stopping them. Now, I'm all for stiffer background checks and other reasonable regulations, but I have yet to hear anyone tell me what law will convince a lawbreaker to obey it. Only the law-abiding obey laws. Criminals always find a way around them. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
Remembering what Rush said then was right.
What do we do here every day? I simply report the news. All of it.
And still is.
And give you aspects of it and angles that you don't get in the drive-by media. Or maybe in any other place. We don't do topics here. We don't do guests. We just do the news of the day related to how I can use it to inform people what I believe. It's a way of explaining the horrors of liberalism.
Weekdays from noon till 3, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
All right, I want to remind everybody, coming up on Saturday, May 22nd, we're a big sponsor of this event. We always do it, the First Coast Friends of the NRA. You call it a banquet, but I mean, we're all dressed up in jeans. So it's really, I think of a banquet, I think people dressing up.
Yeah, and you get that sense, and then you get the feeling there's going to be a lot of long-winded speeches and people.
No, there ain't.
No, we don't allow
any. The only thing that's long-winded is your auctioneer. Just tell him to stick to it. Is he going to be there again this year?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Yeah, Bill Elrod. He's awesome.
I know he is, but just, okay. And I just like less, more auction, less politics, but that's okay. I like it. He's
get to the
guy.
Guns, Bill. Get to the guns.
Anyway, you guys are going to be giving away a Henry Sidegate lever action 4570, huh?
That's the gun of the year.
So anyway, we're going to be sponsoring a couple of tables here. If you want further information, two ways of doing it. Go to Facebook.com, look for the First Coast Friends of the NRA, or go to firstcoastfriendsofnra.org, or email me, where we get a lot of that at, ed@wbob.com, 5:30 Saturday. I mean, you can win guns. I mean, win a lot of stuff.
If I have my way, we're going to be giving away over 30 again this year.
30 weapons of war, right? That's what the liberals call it. So anyway, no, and hey, by the way, Ron Davis, good to see you.
Tools of personal protection.
That's right. Okay. I like that. I got to write that one down. All right. Roger, all right. Thankful to God every day for the show, all of you that tune in. Have a good weekend. We'll be ready to go Monday morning, 6 a.m. You can always email me throughout the weekend, ed@wbob.com. And we'll see you Monday right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville. 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco. Talk Radio.